Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Lucralo Monthly Teleconference, taking place on Monday, the 15th of August, 2016 at 2300 UTC. On the call today, we have Alexis Antelis, Juan Matos, Alfredo Lopez, Maritza Aguirre, Beatriz Rodriguez, Alejandro Acosta, Juan Manuel Rojas, Sergio Salina Porto, Aida Nuebla, Anavir I, and Bartlett Morgan. Joining us a little late in the call will be Silvia Lete Early. We have listed apologies for Moline Andres, Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Dave Ananti Luxing, Carlos Aguirre, Harold Arcos. Oh, I apologize. Our apologies are from Elaine Andres, Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Devin Nanti Luxing, Carlos Aguirre, and Harold Arcos. From staff, we have Silvia Vivanco and myself, Terry Acme. Our Spanish interpreters today are Veronica and David. Our Portuguese interpreters today are Bettina and Esperanza. Our French interpreters today are Isabel and Claire. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and also for our interpreters. Also joining us on the call today, in addition to the earlier mentioned name, we have Beatriz Rodriguez, Lena Arnoas, Ricardo Holmquist, Alfredo Lopez, Alberto Soto, Humberto Carrasco, Delmo Rodriguez, Fandis Garcizini, and Ahi Mendez. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for joining and turn it back over to Humberto to begin.
This is Humberto Carrasco for the record. Thank you very much. Maritza, if you could please start with our agenda, I give you the floor. This is Maritza speaking. Thank you, Humberto. Can you hear me? Can you please confirm if you hear me? This is Humberto speaking. We can hear you nicely. Maritza speaking again. Thank you very much. We will start this call today with a presentation by Ornella. She is the head of public policy and relations with the government for Google. She will talk about the defense of liberties on the internet, what are the possible impacts of this in Latin America. Then we will hear Mr. Alejandro Acosta from LACNIC. He will talk about the resource, the RPKI, the resources, number resources signed in the region. And we will finalize this presentation with the most impactful issues dealt with in LAC-IGF-9 by Beatriz Rodriguez. She is a board member of ISOC in the Uruguay chapter. And to sum up, we will deal with other issues in this call. So I will now give the floor again to Humberto. This is Humberto speaking. Thank you very much, Maritza. The agenda then is adopted. So we will now go to item number 4. This means that we're going to hear a presentation on the defense of rights and liberties on the Internet, Google's challenges in Latin America. This will be a presentation by Lina Ornella. Thank you very much, Lina, for being here. This is Lina speaking. Thank you very much for this invitation to speak at Lucralo. And also I would like to thank Maritza Guerrero. It's an honor for me to be here today. I just want to confirm how much time do I have for this presentation, so that I don't go on your agenda. This is Maritza speaking. Actually, this is Ornella speaking. Is it 15 minutes? This is what I was told. Maritza speaking. It's 15 minutes. Is it the maximum time you have assigned? Lena speaking again. I would like to share with you 3 issues that are impactful for Google. We would like to share our experience in Latin America with respect to a very specific case that has been called the right to forgetting in Europe, and we believe this is a more of an academic construction, and we will see how is it that Latin America has resolved this issue through its the Supreme Court in the different places. Google's view is to protect the rights and liberties on the Internet for all of our users. As you know, our mission is to organize the world's information and to put it at the disposal of everybody. In this sense, freedom of speech is one of our pillars. As you know, our search engine simply reflects what is already existing in web pages where editors and people upload information. Privacy is also very important for Google. And I would like to say here that the information that our users leave in the web pages is something that we protect with a very, very high security. So online security for our users is something that we devote a lot of time to, and we also devote a lot of engineering for this to work nicely. But this is different from speaking about the role of Google as an intermediary, that is, as a platform on which we run third-party content. And so I would like to focus on what has happened in Europe on the right to be forgotten. We believe this is not a good name, because it is not eliminating information in the original website, but actually search engines as intermediaries are asked under a resolution. There was a case in the European Tribunal that simply considered that people have a right to remove information from search results, including their names. And this is so in the case that they are considered irrelevant. Civil society is very concerned about this. The same happens with the media and with editors, because it's not judges the one who determine whether these rights are affected or not. This is not the judges determining that personal information is appearing on the search engine, but actually it's a private company that is deciding this. So it's privatizing justice. And so Google needs to wait in each case if there is a public interest or if this information is actually not relevant. And as you can imagine, this is very ambiguous. The European Court did not give any more clues on how we should interpret that something is excessive or insufficient. And so the court has raised many, many practical questions for us. On the day after that Google saw this judgment, we of course enforced it, and we've met with a very big team of lawyers to review whether this information needs to be eliminated or removed online on a case-by-case basis. And because there is no clarity, Google created an advisory council, and these advisory councils provided a few guidelines on how we should solve these cases, because we actually feel that we have a very, very big responsibility and we want to comply with the regulations. So now I want to share a very serious problem with you. There are some effects that were not considered when the judgment was issued. And this is so because the court is telling us, among other things, that we should not tell editors when some information is being removed. And also, we are seeing new interpretations on whether this removal of information needs to include the national domain where the person that asked for the right to be forgotten is living, according to European law. This law has been in effect for more than 20 years when the resolution was issued. And so the question is whether it should be removed from the .com or from the .it or .cr, that is, it invades the sovereignty of other countries, because we may see that there is a country that has more restrictions in terms of freedom of speech, and so this information may not be known. As we know, there may be individuals who are not people that are public personalities, and we may be dealing with an entrepreneur who is committing fraud, and he is asking that his information be removed, and he could be in the future a candidate for future elections. in his area. So the general lawyer in Europe had a different view, because they were saying that search engines are not responsible for the way in which data is being treated. I just want to give you some figures that concern us because of what has happened in Europe. We have received more than 500,000 requests for de-indexation. That is, we are being requested to de-index information. We have also received requests from more than 134,000 websites. And so in Europe, there is less and less access to information. And so what I want to say in this second part, in my last 5 minutes, is to refer to what has happened in Latin America. Latin America has resolved this issue different from what Europe has done, because we have an inter-American human rights that is very different, and it clearly establishes that there may be no prior censorship to remove content, especially the Inter-American Convention on Human Rights in its Article 13 very clearly establishes this. And we have also seen a joint declaration on freedom of speech on the Internet, which is very important because it was issued together with the UN and the OAS, which includes the Caribbean, and also some African countries. And they state there that in freedom of speech, we apply the same regulations to the Internet that we apply to other areas. And so these may also be weighted so that access to information is not impacted so strongly, so that there is control on the content created by users. And at the same time, we have also seen some very interesting resolutions, like the Colombian Supreme Court resolved a case against the newspaper El Tiempo, where they say that actually we need to add information to clarify if a person has been subjected to a court case. Probably the newspaper needs to add information instead of removing it. And the rapporteur Eduardo Bertoni in Colombia established that for Latin America, it was an insult to talk about the right to be forgotten when we actually have a right to know after so many authoritarian regimes we suffered in the region. And maybe we should look to other solutions that do not confuse data protection and database protection when the company responsible for this should not be the one stated initially. And the case in Colombia is very interesting because they do ask the website to clarify this information and to de-index it, but they do not ask this from a private company. In other words, Google does not want to be the big censor of content around the world. And to wrap up, I would like to refer to the negative effects of the right to be forgotten in our region. It would be ideal to avoid them. For example, there are some newspapers and blogs in Mexico that are being practically threatened by law firms. Some Spaniard law firms that arrived in Mexico are telling them that if they do not remove certain pieces of news defamating their clients, they will be subject to fines by the authorities in Mexico, because there was a case in Mexico, a very widely criticized case, where a person who committed fraud was requesting to remove information, and so the information in the end was de-indexed. And so the media in Mexico are now being subject to many, many pressures, and many of them do remove those contents because they do not have legal areas to address these issues. And so we are losing a lot of information. And what's even more serious is that many of these clients are people who are committing fraud or who have an ominous past. And so this is all very, very delicate. We are glad that in Latin America the judges on the different courts and even Supreme Court are considering this. So we are seeing this in a very, very high part of our pyramid, of our legal pyramid. So we need to see if we are going to de-index this information or not. And finally, the global removal of information, there is a very strong pressure in France where they are requesting that a French citizen can remove their name and last name even if it is outside the French domain. There was a very resounding case in Mexico that included corruption in the Mexican government because a so-called kidnapper in a case called Soans was very well known in Mexico because they never really clarified what was the relationship between the public security secretary and another person where they included a kidnapper. The court finally determined in Mexico that it was a due process issue because it was not really clarified. So they didn't really say in Mexico whether she was part of the kidnapper's band, but nowadays this person could ask under this resolution of the European Court of Justice the right to be forgotten, so that when she writes her name and last name, there is no information connected to her past. So France likes this to be removed from the global arena, but I, as a Mexican citizen, do want to know what happened with that person. I want this information to remain there, and I want to know what are these cases of corruption where these public servers were included. So we need to protect the rights, but finally, an American company, we believe, is not the best option to privatize justice, and in Latin America, judges are the ones who should give an answer to this. So Google is willing, in those cases where there is an unlawful case, Google is willing to de-index this information. We do de-index information on images related to child sexual abuse. We also do this when there is personal information on a driving license or a social security number or a passport number, but these are unlawful cases. This is not a gray area where a person believes that this information is damaging their prestige. Actually, we are dealing with a decision that needs to be made by a judge. So once again, thank you very much for this information. If so, we can continue talking, but I think my time is over now. So my 15 minutes have been covered.
Humberto Carrasco speaking. Thank you very much. I am really interested in this topic because I am working on that. So is there any question on the list? I have a question, but I would like to give the floor to Fatima because she has a question for Aline. And the question is, what happens when there is a request for the right to be forgotten? So how the balance should be placed for the particular case of Google? And then I see Alejandro Pisanti, who would like to make a question. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Can you hear me, Humberto? Humberto speaking. Yes, go ahead, please. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Lina, first of all, thank you very much for your great presentation. It was very clear and very brief and very, very complete. So I believe that there are different cases where the right to be forgotten applies, especially for the browsers. And so the these cases or the reasons for these reports are, in fact, reputation topics, because in many cases there are no personal information related, so this is public information involved. The same applies to other cases, so I believe we need to start working on this topic because this is something important. This is Humberto Carrasco for the records. There are other questions. Beatriz Rodriguez, the right to be forgotten for Lina, is it a new right, or can we say that this is the equivalent for the right of suppression? Humberto speaking. After your reply, Alina, I will post another question. So, Lina speaking. So, I will start by replying the first question, and this is how we weighed this topic. As I said at the very beginning, at the after the sentence, we created specialized teams because the European Court only replied a specific question. So the question made to the Luxembourg court was this: if the European legislation was applied, for example, when someone was requesting his or her name to be released from internet or to disappear from internet, well, as Alejandro Pisanti said, this has a different nature because in this case we are dealing with databases and there is a responsible person there. There is privacy notices, and this person in charge is also managing different information, and this was extrapolated to an intermediary who was not the one recollecting the original information. So, for example, media was publishing information, was publishing private information that has to do with the reputation of a certain or of an individual, and this information is being replicated. So these are the ones responsible. But the question is, how Google determines the public interest? Well, since there are no other criteria by the court, we went to the advisory committee, and you can see these on the Google webpage. Discussions were very transparent, were very clear, and the discussions were made all around the European cities to see a way out for Google or some guidelines for Google. And they were very, the conclusions were really very useful because the advice of this advisory body was really important for us, and this helped us a lot. And secondly, the working group for Section 29, as you know, the European regulation has a special section for the creation of a working group to interpret the regulation, so this was very interesting. So this working group helped Google to resolve this issue. So we were a kind of court. We were acting as a court. And I will provide that information if you want to see the report. So what we did was to take into account those criteria provided by the advisory body and also by, for example, some other people such as the director of Wikipedia or some other people. So that is how we assess our criteria. And in the report you will see case by case, how each case was resolved. So you can see that information there. And when it comes to Alejandro's comment, we don't have to mistake public information and information provided by the media. So in that case, well, the legislation or regulation should have been applied. And there are certain risks in our region because we need new regulation to be able to cover these issues affecting intermediaries. And as Alejandro said, we are not talking about this because users most of the time take Google because of the efficiency. And the algorithm, what the algorithm does is to find information, and this is being improved with the passing of time. So I believe that this type of regulation that might comply or to the elimination or the removal of information in internet, well, might affect the functioning. So we don't have to confuse the topics. And when it comes to the third topic, well, the right to be forgotten does not exist as such, not even in the European court or in the European regulation. So this is similar, or this is equivalent to the right of cancellation or the right to eliminate or remove information. But as you know, when we say index, well, does not mean to remove information. And sometimes people use the term browser as a synonym for internet, and this is not correct. Someone may be sending spam information and may be sending certain information, and for these type of cases, there is no right to be forgotten that may be applied. So this is something serious to take into account, because we are not providing any indemnization or any compensation to the individual. So I believe we should take into account this topic. We should analyze all the cases and take into account everything that we have. Umberto speaking. Thank you very much. I would like to make a comment. There is a case in Chile, you know, the Supreme Court at the beginning of this year took into account a regulation by the European Union, and the right to be forgotten was recognized. That is to say, there is information that cannot be published, and the browsers should remove information that has been published more than 10 years ago. So this is a very particular case. My last comment is this. We need to be careful with European regulation, and especially with the French regulation, because I remember that some time ago Yahoo published certain information, and the European government asked them to remove that information, and the American court was in favor of Yahoo. But when the directors of Yahoo went to France, well, they were sent to jail. Lina speaking. Well, you know, this topic and this issue of the Nazi issue or the Nazi thing, well, this has to do with human rights. So this goes beyond the sovereignty of each state. Umberto speaking. Well, they had to remove that information from the internet. So this is somehow in favor of them. Lina speaking. Umberto, well, there is something which is important in Chile, and this is that we have different resolutions. There was a judgment by the court in October 2015, and this covers a report by someone. And in that resolution, it was requested to remove information about certain accusations or certain problems. So in that case, the appellation court decided not to call the directors of the browser to go to jail, but this is how the court operates, and in that case, they decided to remove the information from internet. But we have a set of criteria to be applied, and the thing is that countries should start thinking about the future, because the court at Luxembourg issued a resolution supplementing other resolution, and it was established that the browser is just an intermediary tool. And this, of course, changed the points of view. So I believe that each country should take and should pay attention to its rules and see the adequate model to follow. We had been discussing and fighting for this right, the right to access information, and perhaps we should avoid any misunderstanding in this topic, because in the future this might be of public interest as well. Even historians are also paying attention to these, because this will be impacting history. So we have to think about the model, and we have to think about the future. Umberto speaking. Thank you very much. You know, time's ticking, so we won't keep on discussing this topic. I believe this is very interesting. I see many comments on the chat. So perhaps we might repeat this topic in the future. So once again, thank you very much for your participation. Lina speaking. Thank you, Umberto, and thank you for the invitation. Umberto speaking. So now let's go to item number 5 on the agenda. In this case, we will be speaking about the certification system for the number resources. This presentation will be delivered by Alejandro Acosta. Alejandro, you have 15 minutes for your presentation. So, Alejandro, go ahead, please. You have the floor. Umberto speaking. Alejandro, are you there? Can you please confirm Alejandro is online?
Hi, and this is Terry. Alejandro, I see that your mic is active.
This is Alejandro. This is Silvia, yes? Umberto speaking. Is Alejandro connected? If not, I can give the floor to Beatriz Rodriguez first. Silvia speaking. Well, I am being told that he's not connected, so perhaps we can give the floor to Beatriz Rodriguez, and then we can give the floor to Alejandro. Hello? Hello, this is Alejandro Acosta speaking. I had a problem with my audio, but now it's already, I'm okay. So I hope you can hear me. I was listening to Lina. So Lina, thank you very much for your presentation. It was a really good one. And I hope not to be so boring with this presentation, which is very technical indeed. You see a presentation in front of you, right? Umberto speaking, yes. We do. Alejandro Acosta speaking. So this is the first time I will be delivering this presentation in 10 minutes. So basically, I want to summarize this issue of the RPKI. As you can see, this is a resource public key infrastructure for internet numbers. So basically, this is the same concept that we already know. RPKI stands for Resource Public Key Infrastructure. And we, of course, speak about internet. We speak about numbers. So as I said before, RPKI means Resource Public Key Infrastructure. In order to understand this issue, it is important to see the map. You know, we have the RIRs, which are the Internet Registry. We have the LACNIC for Latin America, APNIC for Asia-Pacific, ARIN for North America, RIPE for Europe. So this is just for you to take into account. I know that most of you know this, but the RIRs basically store information. This is important, because the idea is that you can link all the information that you see in the presentation with the concepts that you have. So as I said before, the structure, the RPKI structure is hierarchical. We have the IANA, we have internet resources, we have IPv6 and IPv4, and the IRIRs are the ones storing all this information. Now, I want to make a point of clarification. This is not a problem. What we'll do right now is to try to take into account the RPKI. And, for example, if we have a network in Chile, this network should be used in Chile and not in Spain or in China. And this was a problem for Internet. This is something constantly happening, probably on a weekly basis. We have been having any problems such as hijacking. The most important topic is, for example, in Latin America, we had hijacking cases. We have, problems with Google. So this is happening, but we are trying to minimize all this impact. Now, in order to understand how this works, we need to understand the internet functioning. We have the BGP, so we have the routers, and BGP stands for Gateway Protocol, and this is a network, and in order for a network to get to France, for example, we need the BGP. So we have to take into account the suppliers, and we have to take into account the protocols as well. Here we have an example of a BGP. We have four messages. And in this case, the router, which is on the right, which is AS300, is providing them, is delivering the message to a router, and that other router is delivering the message to another router, and this goes on until the message is delivered. This is how internet works. So that router may be delivering the right message, or may be delivering a wrong message, or a message which is false, or perhaps may be using a wrong number. It might be a mistake, but this is how it works. So what happens? Well, routers need to keep on working. For example, if sometime in the future I would like to create a network, and I'm creating that network with Maritza, I will use a router, but perhaps in the future there might be a problem with Maritza's network. So this is important to take into account, because we have to use digital certificates. Basically, a digital certificate is a plain text file, for example, a TXT file containing great amount of information. So with this information, we will create the routing table in Internet. Here we see an example. For example, a route hijacking. In this case, we have the network call AS6077. So this number announces a network which is 240.16, but at a point in time, the router in red begins to announce a part of this network. This is a specific network And what happens here is that the router on the left, when this router wants to reach the specific network, will go to the red network, and it will get another type of information. Unfortunately, the picture in red, or the router in red, is deviating information. And this may happen, for example, or this may be the case of a bank or a financial institution, and in this case, the information will be wrong. So what happens with the RPKI? Well, it gets into action. In Latin America, this is being applied. 20% of the traffic is signed in Latin America, and we have ensured networks properly. How this works? Well, basically, on the right, you see Internet, and on the left, you see, for example, the ISP. The router on the left, which is the white drawing with red arrows, supports the RPKI. It will validate the information. This will be done on a separate device because there are many resources implied. And basically, the router will ask according to the information being received. For example, the router will say, I have this piece of information. So what should I do with this information? And the RPKI will validate that information. If it is validated, it means that it is a secure network, and this information with that network should be announced in the autonomous system number 1, for example. If it is invalid, if the information is not valid, well, the network will be announced in the autonomous system number 1, but the information will also be sent to the autonomous system number 2, but in this case, it is something which is wrong. And this is because the network was not secured. So this is technical information. We use the ROA. So this is the Road Origin Authorization. We have plain text with a specific format, which is already signed. In this case, we have the ASN, the IP blocks. There is an initial validation or validity date. I know this date will be announced by the autonomous system, for example, 2015 until 2018, and that will be taken into account. There is a ROA created per each ASN. So this means that per each ASN, there will be a ROA. I don't know if there is any question. If that is the case, I'm open to receive questions.
Thank you very much. This is Alejandro speaking. I'm sorry, this is Humberto Carrasco speaking. Alejandro speaking now. It seems there is a question by Alejandro, by Arise Ministerio. Humberto speaking now. If you're reading the AC room, maybe you can answer to what they're asking there. Alejandro speaking. Yes, I'm actually reading the AC room chat. So I'm going to start with the question by Arise Ministerio. He's asking, can RPKI be used to certify resources within dedicated or private networks? Well, it's a rather complex answer. We are always talking about ensuring internet, global internet resources. We are not really referring to a lab network and to RPKI certificates. Well, actually, right, Matt, technically, this is feasible. You can do this with a certifying unit to create a certificate. So it is possible, but actually I think this is going to be a bit difficult. In a lab network I was not using, but RPKI is a standard. It's standardized by IETF. it has the proper documentation, external documentation. And when I said that Ecuador, Costa Rica, and Venezuela have a very high penetration index in RPKI, this is because Ecuador has a document, if I'm not mistaken, there is a working group for routing where they discuss their experience in implementing RPKI. So basically this was done by Ecuador because they were the first one to have such a high value. They were at 99% of all the certificates being signed. Their case is very, very significant. This is Umberto speaking. I think Alejandro Pisanti would like to ask a question. So Alejandro, now you have the floor. This is Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Alejandro, thank you very much for this very nice presentation. As you know, at large organizations are very committed to the interests of Internet users, not only in domain names, but also in cases like the one you are presenting, in whatever concerns IP allocations. So what would be the most relevant activities for us with this kind of organizations to support RPKI? This is Alejandro speaking. Thank you for your question. In LACNIC, we've done something that's been very fruitful, and we would love, and I emphasize, we'd love to repeat this experience. What we do is we have an entity, and the ALSs are a good way to do this. And what we do is we invite ISPs to meetings, to rooms, you know, classrooms, to labs, to university classrooms, or wherever. And we probably give an RPKR course, an 8-hour course or a 4-hour course. And then by the end of the day, we create the ROAs for the ISPs with LACNIC support. There is someone who knows a lot about this, and we go together with the ISPs and we help them create the ROAs. It's a very, very good method, and we have a lot of experience with that, and we've done very nicely. So I invite whoever wants to come. We just ask the local host, the ALS, or the local entity to support us to invite, with the invites to the different organizations. This is Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Thank you very much. What are the incentives or the resistances that you actually find and that we can help provide? Alejandro speaking. I dare say, you know, I work with two strong technologies. One is IPv6 and the other one is RPKI. With RPKI, we haven't really had major resistances or major problems, basically because it's very implementable, at least to create the ROAs. The documented risk that the autonomous system needs to be announced or that it has to announce certain networks, well, we've had very, very good feedback for that. And I'm going to explain why it is very good. We just have a web page with LACNIC credentials, and you access with a user and a password, and in less than 10 or 15 minutes, you can already get the certificates created. It's very, very easy, and there is a very minimal resistance, perhaps. We need some more support and some more training because it's a relatively new technology, and we need to educate on that. And I would like to thank Lacrallo and especially Maritza for this invitation. But we haven't really had important obstacles because this is really very, very easy. This is Umberto speaking. For the record, there is a last question. You said that there are three countries that have implemented this system in Latin America. Alejandro speaking. Well, maybe I just wasn't right. There actually are three countries that have a record because they have 90% of their resources signed. The rest of the countries also do have a very high penetration of RPKI, perhaps not as much as these three specific countries. Maybe at some other time we can focus on which are those countries, and we maybe, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to have a look at the creation of ROAs, and maybe we can start by these countries. I will be glad to do these, to make this research and to bring this to La Crala or to Marisa. This is Umberto speaking. Thank you, Alejandro. We are about to end our time. We're very happy with the very good quality of your presentation, and thank you very much for being here. Thank you for having accepted this invitation to be more involved in the Crallo. I apologize because my kids are here and they are screaming around. So we will now go to item number 6. This presentation will be by Beatriz Rodriguez. She is a member of the ISOC board in the Uruguay chapter. Beatriz, you will also have 10 minutes for your presentation and then 5 minutes for questions. So you can have the floor now, Beatriz.
Okay.
This is Beatriz speaking. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? This is Umberto speaking. We can hear you fine. Beatriz speaking again. Thank you very much for this invitation. First of all, I see a lot of people are now connected. Many of them I do know, and many of them have also been involved together with me on the LAC IGF-9. So if there's something missing or if I forget something, please do help me bring this to all of you. When the LAC IGF was held now in Costa Rica on the 27th till the 29th of July, many of the people that I've talked to at that time told me that one of the things that catches their eye is that the format in this case has changed and the panels were not made up only of people who had a lot of experience in different issues, but actually they also involved people or participants who wanted to take the floor, and there was a feedback between them. So it was not only listening to the panelists or to the speakers in the panels, but actually participants could take the floor and speak. And so we saw that there was a certain positioning with a recognition to everything related to young people and to the work and the involvement of women on the internet ecosystem. In many of the countries, we didn't only see that involvement, that participation, but also behind the panel, we saw many young people, and we saw them very strongly there. There were 10 panels, and so we could see that both human rights and internet neutrality and zero rating, all those were issues being dealt with not only by the panel, but also by other panels or where you would see that the same issues arose. So what we see is that the internet should not only be focused as something technical or as something that is actually an area where people are included in that internet. And so people try to protect their human rights. There is a new billion people who want to connect to the internet, and we want to involve them. So with respect to these new connections, we heard some interesting interventions, because if we connect that billion people, is the quality that we're going to give them going to be better? Is it going to be the same? Will that connection be the same for everybody? Will they have different speeds and different costs? These were some of the questions asked when participants got involved with the new connections for these new people to reach the second billion. Another thing we saw on LAC-IGF was a strong focus on security. All these new issues emerging in connection with security problems, not only at the technical level, but also at the level of people. When there are different crimes that may be committed using the internet, and people are the ones that are being affected by this. So it's not only the technical part, but it's also people. Another issue dealt with was the format of the sessions. There was a panel on the future, on the governance of the meeting, and so what we saw, or what the community saw, was how participation mechanisms can be changed, how can scholarships be given, how can you choose the people in each panel. And so all of that leads us to believe that the community is increasingly interested in internet governance. And so one of the issues that we need to consider is that the format for the next IGF, the global IGF that will be held in Mexico, well, it seems that there are some innovative formats being implemented in IGF sessions. So this is more or less a summary of what we saw during those minutes. There's still a lot to be done. There's more stuff to be done each time. And we see there are new issues emerging. And these are not only technical issues, but there are also issues related to human rights and coexistence between the different communities. Can you tell me if I have more time, or maybe if there are some questions that you want to ask? This is Umberto Carrasco for the record. I think the time is okay. I now open the floor for questions. I see people typing on the AC room. So let's wait until we see questions asked there before I give the floor. Phil, if you want to raise your hand, go ahead. Or if there's someone who would like to add anything else, you can speak now. Well, it seems there are no comments and no questions. This is Alejandro Pisanti. There is a written question. Beatriz speaking. I am reading the question now. Alejandro is asking about the issues related to Lacrallo. He wants to know if there was any comment related to that.
Well, the issues related to Latin America and the Caribbean are the issues that were dealt in each of the panels. Actually, what we need to consider is that there is a participation of all of us as a community in itself, and not to try and see if we can implement a way to work together. So maybe in this way, we can stop having certain cases for a certain region and others for a different region, and to try to continue in everything that is related to the Internet and to the network in general.
This is Humberto speaking. I think Alfredo Lopez is also asking a question. Alfredo Lopez is asking if you discuss something about the deep web. That's right, speaking. When we talked about security, we heard some discussions on surveillance and privacy itself. There were also some discussions on focusing on, how to say this, on all these new crimes now emerging within the web. I can't really recall having heard something about the deep web specifically, but maybe they discussed this at some panel. Maybe Alejandro can remember something about this, or some other of the girls, Anaí or Fatima, who were also there. But I can't really recall this being discussed. This is Alejandro Pisanti speaking. With respect to cybercrime, maybe the most important new message, including the deep web, because this is not an internet governance issue, but with respect to cybercrime, probably the most noticeable is there are more and more participants seeing that we need to focus on crime and not on the cyber part. So we need to focus on rules, regulations, behaviors, and not so much on tools, technical tools that evolve much faster than the intention of criminals. And then with respect to ICANN, I echo what Beatrice has said. There weren't really issues related to domain names, IP management, etc., with relevant for LAC IGF, because these issues are not a controversy any longer. This is Beatrice speaking. I totally agree with that. This is Humberto speaking. I now open the floor for the last time. I remind you to raise your hand or to start speaking if you so wish. I think Aida Noblia is raising her hand. Aida, you now have the floor. This is Aida speaking. Can you hear me? So this is Aida Noblia for the record. I just want to say that we have a planned event for the 30th and 31st of August, and I was specifically interested on the Internet and the new role for the community. I want to convey this here, and I want to inform the community on the network and protocols, the multi-sectorial governance model, domain names, security. These are some of the issues that are going to be dealt with on that meeting. Contracting systems, the systems in ICANN, and we also called upon different sectors, even some of them. We do see some of the speakers around here. We also invited ISPs, academia, and the community in general, and even AGESIG, which is the Information Society Governing Agency, and we want to involve our community, involve more people who have
some knowledge about that. This was just an announcement I wanted to make. This is Umberto speaking. Thank you very much for your notice, and thank you, Beatriz, for your presentation. So this is the end of item number 6, and let's now go to the last issue on this agenda. I now open the floor if you want to take it.
Beatriz speaking. Before you continue, thank you very much for the invitation. Umberto speaking. You're welcome. There is something I would like to mention, that, and this has to do with the mediation process. Many of the people who have been interviews had already been carried out. I will have a personal interview on Wednesday with one of the mediators, but I know that many people have been interviewed. So, and they were able to provide or to give their concerns and to speak with the mediators. Umberto speaking, write me, yes, that is pending, that topic is pending, the topic you are mentioning is pending, and I will inform you later. I see Alejandro Pisanti, he has a question, so Alejandro, you have the floor, go ahead, please. This is Alejandro speaking. So when are we going to start with the policy issues, and which are these issues, these policy issues? Umberto speaking, sorry. Are you referring to the LACRALO meeting, to any other meeting? Would you like to clarify that, please? Okay, Umberto speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. We will do a survey. What we are doing right now is this. We are inviting people to participate, and we are dealing with topics that might have certain impact on the end users in the region. So there are several issues that are being discussed in ICANN, and of course we will be delivering a survey to ask people which are the topics that they would like to see on the meetings. And Alejandro, people are the one choosing the topics, and this will be done through a survey that we will be preparing soon. I would like also to mention that we have been very focused on the mediation process, and of course, as you know, this is a very important topic, because, and that's why we are not working on a normal basis. We are working very hard, so we would like to work in a different way, but of course we do not have people, so we need further resources. Anyway, we will do a survey, and I see Fatima typing. She says, LACRALO has a mission within ICANN, and that's true. That is what we are doing and or what we are trying to do. Alejandro is also typing, and he says, we mentioned different topics in our previous meeting. And, of course, that's true. There are many topics being discussed, and there are some other topics that are still pending. So, Alejandro, I kindly invite you to provide a presentation of those topics so that we can include those topics on the survey. Or perhaps you would like us to devote ourselves only to the surveys. This is Silvia Vivanco speaking. Can you hear me? Umberto speaking. Yes, Silvia, thank you. Is there any other question or any other comment? This is Silvia Vivanco for the records. Can you hear me? Umberto speaking. Yes, Silvia, go ahead. Silvia speaking. I want to make a point of clarification. I have already posted a link with the questions for public comments, so please, I would kindly ask you to review your calendars for ALAC meetings and the ALT meetings. These public consultations have been discussed there. So this is for your information and for all the participants who would like to get further information on public consultation. That's the link. Thank you. That's all. Umberto speaking. Thank you very much, Silvia. Okay. I open the floor for questions and comments. Fatima, just to reply to you, yes, we will deal with these topics. We will do a survey. We will need to see what the topics are, and we will be presenting that information. So the idea is that in our next call, you can provide us with information about the topics. And of course, we will be dealing with topics that are of interest for the region as well. Alejandro, well, I will be drafting a report that will be ready for the next meeting. That is what I'm saying, Alejandro. We will be preparing a survey asking people the topics of interest. We will be asking questions to end users and like RALO members. That is our mandate. Umberto speaking. Okay. If there is any other question or item or topic which is pending, we can use our main list. If there are no further questions, I would like to thank you all for your participation, and goodbye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.